Good morning.
Judges chapter 6, the first 21 verses. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them in the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whatever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. Also Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiathrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Then he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you." And he said, "I will wait until you come back." So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, and lay them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. May God bless his word.
Thank you. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you for your word.
And again, Lord, we just want to say that we are going to set ourselves before you this morning and hear your will for us. Thank you, Lord, that you do speak to your children. So we pray now that you would lead us in the way that you would have us to go. In Christ's name, amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says about itself that the things that were written of old were written for our learning. Okay, that's what the apostle says about the Old Testament scriptures. And so parts of the Bible, like what we've just read, are not just a record of history for us. They're not just dry facts. They hold lessons for us to learn, things that are going to help us in our own situation, because they're parallel. Okay, we're told that we can and we ought to consult the scriptures so that we can figure out what's going on with our own lives. And this works because God is a God who is consistent with his own nature, right? He doesn't change with time. That's what makes the Word of God so dependable, right? It's what makes this book a reliable guide for us, helpful for us when we're in need of help. And I do believe that we are a church that's in need of help. We have endured a lengthy period of decline. So far, by God's grace, we have been able to keep our heads above water, and in some ways we are healthy, but there's no use pretending that we are a strong church. Okay, we are rather weak. There is somewhat of a threat to our continuance as a body if things don't turn around at some time in the near future. And I don't think we do ourselves any favors if we ignore that fact, if we avoid talking about the situation for what it is. That being said, we serve a God who delivers, a God who saves. He has shown himself to be such a God over and over again in his word, and his word helps us clarify both what the causes are of our present state and the way forward. Okay, and the book of Judges in particular has several episodes from Israel's history when the nation at different times was weak, and several corresponding things that God did to deliver them and restore them in a wonderful way. You see that he didn't just magically make their troubles disappear. He used people. He always used people. He revives people's hearts and gets them moving in the right direction, and he enables them to win the victory. Okay, you understand, as a church, he is not just going to drop good and prosperous times into our laps. He expects that we arise and take hold of them. Okay, and this, I believe, becomes clear if we trace our way through the story of Israel in the days of Gideon. So just start with the first paragraph, which is verses 1 to 10. One of the major lessons of Judges, okay, and I would say, in fact, the whole period of Israel, from their entering into the promised land to the calamity of the exile to Babylon, one of the big lessons is that decline happens for reasons. Okay, decline has causes. So when a church finds itself looking at each other and asking why, okay, if you look at verse 13, you see Gideon asking why. Okay, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? The word of God is there, okay? The word of God is silently present, waiting for us to open it up and look to it for the answers, okay? Lord, if you're with us, why is this happening to us? Why do we struggle to get by? Why is our labor seemingly bringing forth very little? Why does the enemy apparently have the advantage of us? How is it that we have come to find ourselves kind of laying low here in our dens and caves and not having much of an impact? Okay, so look, the author of Judges is very direct. You can see it in verse 1. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, look, by the use of the word evil, I don't think you need to understand that it means that the children of Israel were out and out wicked and brutal. Okay, evil, the word evil does not necessarily mean with malice, but it does mean that there was some kind of sin, right? There's something which set this corrective action of God in motion, okay? Certainly it at least means error, okay? You could say they did ill in the sight of the Lord. Okay, and from what follows in this chapter, I'm sure that that ill conduct includes the sin of divided loyalty, okay, or disloyalty, or like a half-baked allegiance. Okay, it says they did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord, okay, sent them hard times for 7 years. Okay, so is a causative word, right? So the people say, look, if we're God's people, why is, verse 6, why is Israel greatly impoverished because of the Midianites? Okay, you see that in response to their ill-doing, God allowed a hardship to descend upon them for the space of years, until they were pressed to the point where they cried out to the Lord. Okay, the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. So, do you agree that crying out to the Lord is the correct first step? Right, it's the right first step, isn't it? Isn't the right thing to do to ask God, just be straight with us, okay? Tell us what is our error? What is my sin? Just tell me, okay? Because the Bible says, whoever covers his sins will not prosper. Whoever covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. So I'm not sure that we give enough honest thought to the reasons for our weakness. Okay, what are the reasons that have led up to this? I think we can see, we can observe that we're weak as a church. I think we can bemoan the fact that we're weak. But churches don't become weak for no reason, do they? Okay, as much as we would like to think that, you know, we do everything right as far as we can, we do our best and so on, the failure to grow our number and to propagate ourselves comes from certain forms of neglect. Okay, it must come from some kind of neglect. Okay, so look, you see that the people ask the Lord, and in verses 8 to 10, he answers them. Okay, how does he do that? He sends them his word, sends them a prophet, right? Now, to hear the Lord's answer, when you ask this question, to hear the Lord's answer is always humbling. Okay, it's kind of embarrassing. If you want things to straighten out, though, you have to ask the question. And if you don't want the answer, don't ask the question. But I think we would like to have the answer. Okay, the good part is God is a forgiving God. He is willing to leave whatever happened in the past in the past, and he's willing to lead us forward from this point once we're honest enough to own up to whatever is our neglect of doing his will at all times. So there's a similar thing in the New Testament in the passage that's about the communion, and this is just by way of illustration, I guess, you know, where Paul says, that is why many of you are weak and sick, and some of you have even fallen asleep. Okay, you want to know why, Corinthians? Well, here's why. It's because you neglect the body and the blood of the Lord. It's because you come to the table unworthily. It's because you're not one in heart as a community of believers. Each of you's kind of more caught up in your own things than the things of Jesus Christ. Shall I praise you for this? I shall not praise you, he says. Oh, goodness. Okay, well, you wanted to know what was the matter. I'm telling you what's the matter. Okay, the solution is fix this, and then things will get better. Okay, the Lord has laid his hand upon you in a heavy way. Do you want him to lift it? Okay, same thing here in Judges. They ask the question, they get the answer. The manly thing to do is to say, yes, Lord, you are right. We have not done all that was right in your sight. So please now, will you put away my sins, and I will correct course, I will turn back, and I will serve you now. So here's the answer. It starts in verse 7. Okay, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, he sent a prophet to the children of Israel who said, thus says the Lord God, I brought you up out of Egypt, and I brought you out of the house of bondage, and delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, drove them out before you and gave you their land, and I charged you, I am Jehovah your God, Do not worship, okay, fear, worship. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. So in this case, I would say that the causes were these. Number one, divided loyalty. Okay, we like Jehovah, but we like other gods too. Number two, the absence of proper gratitude or feebleness of gratitude for past graces. Okay, I mean, I saved you from slavery. I made you my special people, gave you an inheritance in the land of milk and honey, and you responded to my mighty intervention in history to save you by neglecting to serve me. Okay, but wait a minute. We had a covenant, right? And you agreed to the covenant, did you not? Okay, and then third, complacency. Okay, now we are settled in the land. Life is pretty decent. I've got mine. I'm not too worried too much about others, about the fame and reputation of the Lord, about being a light to the world, and so on. Okay, a sort of inertia has settled over us. Okay, and I would say the causes of church decline are pretty much the same. Okay, number one, divided allegiances. Okay, when the people have a place in their life, there's some space in their life for God, but there's four or five other gods in there too, sort of jostling for priority, entertainment, television, home, travel, shopping, puttering around, fixing up the house, fitness, right? All of those things that fill up days and fill up nights and fill up weekends. Did I not save you? Did I not call you to be my own special people? Okay, now listen, my people, the time is short. You are in the world, but you just can't be of the world. And so much of your life is being consumed by the world. It's divided loyalty, if not disloyalty. So am I married to Christ? Wait, am I acting as though I'm engaged to be married to Christ? Am I faithful as to the one who loves me? Or are my eyes roving around about looking for other lovers, see what else catches my attention? Hey, am I a soldier of the cross, willing to endure a little hardship, a little deprivation, a little personal sacrifice for the king and kingdom? Or you read the lyrics of the song, and do I intend to be carried to the skies on a flowery bed of ease while others fight to win the prize and sail the bloody seas? Okay, it's a matter of loyalty. It's a matter of allegiance. Okay, divided allegiance is ill-doing in the eyes of the Lord. And when people do ill in the eyes of the Lord, the church declines. Secondly, as with the Israelites, okay, churches decline when the people underappreciate God's past graces. Okay, and if you've been with us for Amos in the evenings, we kind of heard about this a couple times in Amos. It was I who brought you out of Egypt. It was I who cast out the Amorite before you. Don't you remember what he's brought you out of? Okay, look at the world out there and see what there is to see. See the people in their misery, their ignorance of God. You see the rivalries out there, the hatred and the pride and their sad, pathetic captivity to uncleanness and perversity. Okay, you watch people fight, watch them mistreat each other, listen to their foul mouths, watch them stuff their faces and drink themselves stupid like beasts, never giving thanks to God for any of it. Okay, I died to bring you out of that way, that low way of living. I've given you victories over giants. You have seen something higher, more glorious, more satisfying. Should that not bring constant thanksgiving out of your mouths? Don't you remember that you too walked among them at one time? Okay, you are a burning stick that has been pulled out of the fire. Okay, Jesus saved you from the grip of the devil, wiped your record clean by suffering that hours and hours long excruciating death hanging on the cross. And that thankfulness, listen, I'm the same way. That thankfulness dwindles away so quickly. Like you get surges of it from time to time, but it doesn't stay. It doesn't stay hot. It doesn't govern our lives. Okay, same with the Israelites. Well, what have you done to bless us lately? What have you done for us lately? Okay, under appreciation of God's past graces, it's ill doing in the eyes of the Lord. Okay, my son died for you. Right? Churches decline when their appreciation, when their gratitude for the atonement grows cold. And third, what I called inertia or complacency. It's a cause of Israel's decline. Okay, now that we're settled in, the rest of the conquest can just sort of be other people's concern. Right? I have a good inheritance. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. So as far as other people, we'll let them tend to their own concerns. Right? But learn from Israel. Not completing the mission was a huge contributing factor to Israel's decline. Okay? Churches decline when there is little care for completing the mission. Okay? When there's little care for evangelism, outreach, disciple development. Okay? Obviously, the church consists of people. And unless we care for other people and bring them in and make them part of this fellowship and establish them in the faith and get them on board with the work, then when we're gone, the church is gone. All right, you're seeing it happen with your own eyes. When we're gone, the church is gone unless we replace ourselves. Okay? To me, again, this is the kind of person I am. Complacency is totally understandable because it's a very human quality. I'm safe. Okay, I've got my salvation ducks in a row. I'm good with God. And as far as other people, you know, let them handle their own, that's their problem. Okay, we're here. People can come in if they want. Why should I have to go out to them? Because the Lord commanded us to, right? That's why. Because that's the kind of love that God gives. That's the kind of love that God is, right? Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Okay, so a disinterest in spreading the message of Jesus, it's effectively a disinterest in people, right? It's a disdain for people. And that's antithetical to the kind of love that God shows, right? He loves the sinner. Okay, so now who is on the Lord's side? I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Okay? We have challenges to face. First Baptist has challenges to face. Due to those causes, okay, and I should say their errors, really I should say their sins, but due to sins like those, we have declined to a point where it seems like, you know, the Midianites out there, they're just too overwhelming, right? The world is hostile to Christianity, and, you know, if we go out there, we're just going to get shot down. We're not prominent. We're not wealthy. We don't have a lot of confidence. Okay, there's Gideon, you know, kind of keeping his head down. We're kind of holed up in here among ourselves because in here it's safe. Okay, but we have declined to the point now where some people are starting to lose hope. Okay, so to counter that, we better consider what are our assets. Okay, people have to engage. Each person has to engage, but people will engage when they're reminded of what their assets are. Okay, so have a look. I hope you still have your Bible open, verse 14. Okay, the Lord turned to Gideon and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" Okay, and we can all sympathize with what he says next, what Gideon says next. He said to him, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Okay, we're a weak church, and I'm not even a leader in the church, you might say. Well, so what? So become one. Okay? The Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Okay, now fast forward to the next chapter. You know, Gideon puts his army together. Most of them don't even really want to be there. He scrapes together 32,000 men. And if you look in 7:3, okay, the Lord says to him, "This is too many men for you to conquer Midian with. So tell them this: if anyone is afraid or frightened, just tell them to go on home." Okay, and so 22,000 out of the 32,000 leave and go on home. Okay, so Gideon is left with 10,000 of them to go up against hundreds of thousands. Okay, if you don't want to be a soldier of the cross, somewhere there is a flowery bed of ease for you to go back to, so just head on home, right? Nothing prevents the Lord from saving, whether it's by many or by few. Okay? Few is the way the Lord seems to do things. Okay, out of the 10,000, he only picks a small fraction out of those. Okay, in the end, Gideon's got 300 men, and God tells him then, if you're still afraid, you go down to their camp and you listen and find out what you hear. Okay, and so Gideon and his man, they go down, they find out the Midianites are pretty scared too. Okay, and it turns out that a few of us against a lot of them, with God on our side, is a pretty fair fight. Okay, so let's go. And it says, when you go and you sound the trumpets, you find out that the battle is not anything like you thought it was going to be. It was not anything like you were what you were so afraid of. It can be done. Okay, so what are our assets? Number one, the power of God. Have I not sent you? Yeah, the creator, the savior, the king of kings. And, you know, here's Gideon. Oh, are you really going to be with us? You know, give me a sign. Yes, I'll be with you. And the angel burns the thing with his staff. Okay, yes, I'm with you. Really, are you with us? Can I put the fleece out? Yes, I'm really with you. Really, really, are you going to be with us? Can I do the fleece backwards? Yes, I'm really with you. And the power of God delivered Israel when the people committed to engage in the fight. Okay, the power of God wins the fight, but the people have to engage. Okay, so that's asset number two, a few good men, a few good women, right? God's people. If God's people don't do the work, the church will not be able to meet the challenges. It is as simple as that. Okay, a healthy, flourishing church is not just going to occur. You have to arise and lay hold of it. Okay, you have to. I have to. We were talking with Dr. Essington the other day, or one of our trustees. Okay, he said, you know, it used to be a lot more common in churches to give everybody at the beginning of the year or the end of last year a pledge card. Okay, and the members of the church do according to the scripture, and they decide how much they're going to give, and they tell the church, so basically in writing, you can count on me for X amount of support this year. And then the church is able to take those things and plan their budget and have a clue about what they can manage to do. Okay, but as for us, we just kind of fly by the seat of our pants, right? People have to decide in their hearts how to give and what to give so the church knows what to do rather than just whenever the feeling comes over you. Okay, and that's just money. Okay, commitment to participate in outreach, to have a home Bible study, to get involved in the youth activities, right? God's people have to say, here I am. Here I am, Lord, use me. I will commit. I will be there. Just tell me where and when. And then the third asset, of course, is God's word. Okay, it's trustworthy, it's reliable, it's sufficient as long as we do what it says. Okay, to the law and the testimony, right? Here's your handy guide to a flourishing Christian fellowship. Okay, but as long as you don't just be a hearer of it, okay, hearing of it really does you no good. Do what it says. Okay, this is the way, walk in it, God will reward you. Okay, and you see just the fact that we're talking about a story from the Bible and that God's Spirit is using it to speak to us and motivate us and teach us shows that the Word is one of our greatest assets. Okay, in it we learn the Word, we learn the mind of God, we learn the will of God. If we follow the examples that are in it, we will win and be delivered. Okay? We have been declining. There is a solution to decline. Okay? It's not inevitable that this decline end in final extinction. God is able. God is on our side. But the rest is up to us to do according to the covenant that we made and that we make. Okay, the local church, the Christian church, is not just doesn't exist just to provide people some activities to participate in. It's a way of life, okay, including a mission to accomplish, including work to do. Okay, our weakness, First Baptist, our weakness is a result of certain kinds of neglect, or apathy, or indifference. Okay, The answer to it is and must be repentance, renewal of purpose. Okay, so to you who are the members, are you willing to make whatever changes are necessary in your life and make the commitment to the cause of Jesus? No more of this halfway in and halfway out. My name's on the roll, but I'm not involved. Confess your divided heart. Confess your under-thankfulness, your complacency about the mission. Okay, the Bible says something to me funny. Don't be like a mule that won't move unless you put a bit and bridle on it and drag it. Okay, don't be like a mule. God is with you, mighty man of valor. Okay, to you who are not members, okay, you have attended for a while, but you've not become a member. Listen, if you claim Jesus Christ, be baptized. Prove it with your actions. Prove it. Pledge allegiance to him. If we confess him, he will also confess us. If we shrink back from him, he'll turn us away. If these are your people, look around. If these are your people, join the church. Okay, now I know some of you are members from other churches and you're helping out here. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. You're doing double duty. Okay, wonderful. But others, if this is where you go, if these are your people, join the membership. Stand with Jesus Christ. Let Gideon know that you can count on him to hold a sword and a torch and a trumpet. Okay, make your pledge. I am calling you to a contest, right? I'm calling you to a mission, not just to a benevolent society, right? I'm calling you to a contest, and it's not about America. It's not about Trump or politics, or it's about the glory of our Savior who came and died for us. Jesus died to save souls, and we are supposed to be his fellow workers. Okay, and this is our field of labor, which involves labor. So will you accept the challenge? I hope you will accept the challenge. Okay, if you do accept the challenge, then I want you to stand and affirm your commitment by reading the covenant of our congregation with us. Okay, this is a commitment, is a verbal commitment, a pledge that you will make before the Lord. So I hope you have that with you. Please now stand. We'll read the covenant together. And then afterwards, we will pray. And then after that, we will take to ourselves the sign of the of our salvation and Christ's indwelling life. We'll come to the Lord's table. All right, let's begin. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we do now in the presence of God and this assembly most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote its spirituality and prosperity, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel throughout all nations. We also engage to conscientiously maintain family and personal devotions, to teach our children Christian truths, to seek the salvation of our family and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, exemplary in our behavior, zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. We further engage to watch over one another in Christian love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy in feeling and courtesy in speech, to give and receive admonition with meekness and affection, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation and mindful of the rules of our Savior, to secure it without delay. We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. And now unto him who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, be power and glory forever. Amen. Amen. Christians, God has heard you. God is with you. Please be seated.